she is. So here she is. Okay. So Chris Parrish has been a member for 3 or 4 years, did you say, about that? And phenomenal family. I've just been so blessed to get to know them. We went sailing a couple of times, and the last time we went sailing was in Destin. We did a dream day together, and we just had a wonderful, wonderful time, and I can't wait to see what God is going to do in this community through this phenomenal lady. Please give it up for Beverly Parrish.
What to expect this afternoon. You can put your pens down. You're not going to learn anything. I have strict instructions not to teach. At this dream day with Howard, we chatted about the possibility of me kind of helping to facilitate the family spoke of the Ziegler wheel of priorities, because you know Howard wants to take care of us in all areas, and he recognizes that as business owners, it places an extraordinary extra stressor, extra challenge on our families. And he knew my passion for families from reading my book and from visiting with us. And so we thought we'd see what happens. So this is kind of a preview of my part to address the needs of the family spoke of the Ziegler Wheel of Priorities for Howard. So this is kind of an overview of what I would love to be able to serve you guys by doing. So let me introduce myself a little bit more detail. Chris and I have been married, I was just trying to think, almost 39 years, long time. And we have 7 kids. Our oldest is 37 and our youngest is 20. I have 6 boys and 1 girl right in the middle. My daughter Hannah is 27 and she has Down syndrome, so she's our perpetual kid at home. We're officially empty nesters now, but we have Hannah, so we're kind of it's kind of an unusual thing. And so we're just now learning to be empty nesters, what you do, and apparently it's supposed to be a whole lot of fun, but I haven't figured that out yet, how that works. But anyway, so I feel privileged to speak to such a group of high achievers. Full disclosure, I don't even know what my letter is on the disc thing. Chris has to remind me all the time. I mean, I know what kind of personality I am, and I am not a business owner. I am not the mover and the shaker. I want to be at home with my family. So when I hear y'all talk about all these amazing things that you're accomplishing, I just think, wow, that's so impressive. I just got a text from one of our employees who's quitting. We just brought him on a week ago, and I'm cratering, and I think I'm not cut out for this. But I am cut out for family, and that is my passion. So I'm concerned about us. I'm concerned about us as business owners because, as I said, that extra stressor. And I'm concerned about us because our culture, I feel, is in an all-out assault mode on the family. And if you agree with what's going on in culture right now, then you're just fine. But if you don't agree with what culture is promoting right now, then we have a battle on our hands. And I feel like that's where we are. And I also feel like culture does us a great disservice. I've been listening to these amazing speakers. And let me just read back to you a couple of the things that I have made notes about while I've been here. Sherry made the point about the bottom line being implementing all those great tips that she gave you. And she talked about the need for your employees to see themselves as part of your vision for your company. And I forget who's. Oh, this was Tom this morning. Said, create an atmosphere people want to be around. And when I hear those things, I think about, okay, how does that relate to the family? How can I put that into practice for my family? Am I creating a place in my family where people want to be around, where my family members want to be around me? And I feel like our culture tells us that you can change your physical appearance with exercise. You can change your debt picture with a new plan for spending, a concerted effort to get out of debt. You can change your business profitability by implementing all these great plans. You can change your health by changing your diet and adding supplements. But I feel like we get the message that, well, family, you get what you get. And while it's true we can't choose who our family members are, I believe that all these amazing things you have learned over the past two days, I've only been here 2 days, that I have learned over these past 2 days apply to our families as well. And I want to encourage us to not fall prey to the, you just have to endure what you get. You just, it is what it is, and it is your family, so you can't change anything. I just say, no, I just don't believe that's true. My goal is to inspire you to dream something big, something different for your family, for your relationships, to create a culture within your family that people want to be around, your own family members and other people, to create a legacy. And a legacy is something that you leave to people coming after you. And I think if no other place should we leave a legacy, it ought to be our families. We ought to see our kids duplicating the things that they have seen in our families, not becoming just like us, not necessarily carrying on a family business, but us having created a family culture that our children then replicate in their families. So I don't want us to settle. I want us to enjoy our families. And maybe you can relate. When we were in Florida on this little vacation, we went to an aquarium. And so clearly everyone was there having fun with their family on this family vacation. And I saw, almost without exception, mostly scowls and frowns and grrr and threatening comments, you know, I'll get you lunch later. I thought, wow, these people are on vacation, and listen to the way their families, the family interacts. Listen to the way they talk to one another. It ought not be so. And yet at the same time, maybe you've fallen prey to this, maybe you've done it yourself, we sort of encourage one another, oh yeah, it's such a bummer to take a toddler to XYZ, you know, oh yeah, we took our kids to Disney World and oh, it was a nightmare. And I think, listen to us, we would never be okay with resigning ourselves to this kind of behavior, this kind of attitude, this acceptance of negativity in our businesses. Howard would come and smack us all upside the head if we were like, yeah, well, you know, this is the way it is. And yet we sort of buy off on this. And I feel like I'm kind of treading on thin ice a little bit here, because, you know, there's a couple of things you don't want to talk about in groups of people, and that's politics and religion, and I would add family, because if I propose to you that you can have a magnificent family, that you can create a legacy for your family that inspires you and inspires your kids, then I'm telling you that you have something to do with the way your family looks right now, and I don't always want to hear that myself. In fact, lest you be confused, I'm not perfect. I am an imperfect messenger delivering a good message. So another confession, Chris doesn't even know this, I'll probably cry. I told you my daughter is handicapped, and this morning I am rushing to get out the door to get to a conference so I can talk to people about the importance of a family vision and all that. And I was so short with her that I made her cry. I sort of thought, she was, what a putz you are, you know? But my point is, I'm not perfect. But the message that I want to bring to you is it is possible. And also, we're not typified. I'm not typified by that kind of behavior. But I am not a passive vessel. You are not a passive vessel driven by the currents of your life, driven by the winds, with no control over how you relate to those that you love the most on the planet, as evidenced by the fact that for 2 days now, and I know the 777 members had it an extra day, you've been encouraged, you've been challenged to be different than what is common and to be different than what everyone else is doing. So what I want to bring for this family spoke is inspiration to dream something wonderful about your family. Practical tips that you can put into place that actually proactively help you achieve those goals, and encouragement that you can do this. I know this is possible because I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in my own life. And let me tell you where we started. I'm a product of the 70s and 80s, the height of the go girls women's movement. And when I got out of college, and Chris and I got married, we didn't even want children. I wanted to be a career girl, nothing wrong with that, but I wanted to be a career girl and break the glass ceiling on behalf of women everywhere. And then a couple of years into our marriage, God just changed our hearts. And we had decided beforehand that if we had kids, I would stay home. So we decided we wanted to have kids. And so almost 38 years ago, it'll be 38 in October, I began my career as a stay-at-home mom. And I had big dreams. Thank goodness there was no Pinterest then. Oh my word, that would have really been bad. But I had dreams of sitting on the couch together and reading books and enjoying the artwork and going on nature walks and finding my children, finding bugs and digging and getting dirty and all that kind of stuff. And these idyllic moments and, you know, picnics in the yard pretending we're in an enchanted forest. And the reality was this little person had his own ideas about what we were going to do, and they did not jive with mine. And I kept thinking, you're messing up my idea of my day. And I'm like, I didn't see it going this way. I loved my child. I'm not even questioning that you love your children. But the truth of the matter is, and I'll just speak for me, I really didn't like him. For large portions of the day, I really didn't like him. And I thought, wow, this is not sustainable. If we're going to have any more, this is not sustainable. And so we were just two ships going in different directions. I was going my way, he was going his way. And I just, like I said, I just didn't see it going. I just didn't see my life and our family turning out like I wanted. And our experiences with trying to generate these meaningful family times would be, you know, we're going to go to a restaurant with cloth tablecloths and cloth napkins, and we're going to have a meaningful family moment together, and we'd go to the restaurant. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I don't know, you know, partially into the meal, Ben would begin to pitch a fit about something, so one of us would take him outside and jiggle and cajole and try to hold him off while the other one crammed the food in their mouth as fast as they could. You know, because this was this idyllic family dinner we were having. And then we switch, you know, and I just thought, oh. And when I would share this with friends, they'd say, oh, yeah, get used to it. And I think, no, I don't want to get used to this. I love this kid. I want to like this kid. But I didn't know what to do. At the time, we were going to a very small church, so small that it was like a one-room schoolhouse, and all of us were in the room together. And it wasn't very big, either. I mean, everyone in there together, kids and adults, it wasn't very big. And so you saw everything that happened. And there was another family there who had about four or five kids. They were a little bit older than our kids. And I noticed right away it was very different than what was going on in our house. And I watched, and the kids were calm and peaceful, sitting in mom and dad's lap, hugging on mom and dad, loving on mom and dad loving and hugging on the kids. No pouting, no scowling, no pitching fits, no tears, no either on the parents' part or on the kids' part. No, but they were just, there was this affection. And they were like this, I don't know, they were connected somehow in a way that was so foreign to me. And I'm profoundly grateful that I knew that I didn't know anything about parenting. I had prepared myself for childbirth and breastfeeding and all those things. And I guess Chris and I figured that, well, you know, how hard can it be? You conceive the kid, you birth the kid, you raise the kid. Millions of Americans are doing it every day. It can't be that hard. And we never even prepared ourselves for parenting, what we wanted or anything like that. So I knew when I saw her with something different that I didn't know anything, and so I asked her what she did. And I said, your family is very different than mine. And I just had, you know, multiplying this down the road thinking, wow, this is, I just need to get some of what she had. And I said, what did you do? And she said, well, I read this book and I did what it said. She implemented the principles. And I thought, hot dog, you just give me a book and I'll follow the instructions and I'll, you know, I don't have to engage my brain, I'll just follow the instructions. So I got the book, I read the book, shared the contents of and the principles with Chris, And he agreed that, wow, this, let's just try this. So we implemented those principles. And almost immediately, we saw this difference in our household and the interaction with Ben and his attitude toward us and our attitude toward him. And I began to like him. It was almost like this magic pill, you know? It wasn't a magic pill. It wasn't easy. It was hard work, but we at least had something to do to change the dynamics in our home. And this was so transforming that we just got above our raisin and thought, wow, what else is out there? What else can we do? If we can transform our life with these couple little principles with this kid and enjoy this kid, what else can we do? And so we set about to read, to listen, to watch, to educate ourselves, to evaluate what we saw, evaluate what we heard. And over the years, created a family vision. And I, as I said, I'm not a business person, I'm not a D, I'm not a goal setter at all. I do write it down, and I so appreciated what Santiago said yesterday about, you know, just merely writing it down increases your odds 40% that you will be effective in making it come to pass. And if you review it, post it someplace and review it, you up those odds to 80%. And I'll tell you, as a person who's, I don't do goals the proper way, I don't do SMART goals, I just hitched my wagon to Chris, as I said, and he did it. And we created these goals, and we typed them on a Macintosh. Who remembers the Macintosh? Anybody? Okay. And it's got like a typo and everything. And it doesn't matter that you can't see this, what's written here, but what I want you to see is a thing. We wrote the goals that we had for our family, and they weren't material goals. They were character goals. They were relational goals. They were things we wanted our kids to find important in life. And this has hung on our wall since 1992. That's almost 30 years. It has hung on our wall. It still hangs on our wall, and all our kids are grown and gone but Hannah. And it has served, which is why I want you to think about, this is, you know, as I said, this is like a high-level view, a commercial, if you will, for what is to come for the family spoke. It has served us for these 30 years. It has been boundaries for our family's life. It guided what we chose to let into our family. It guided what we chose to keep out of our family. It kept us on the path when we were evaluating activities and hobbies and all those kinds of things. It's like, does it fit in to our family goals? Does it fit in with where we want to go as a family, what we want to be known by as a family? It has served as a map when we got off in seasons where we were like, ew, you know, when they started to get to be teenagers and we're like, wait, why do we do this? We had this map, you know, that showed us why we were doing this, where we were going. And there have been seasons where we've gotten off track, and it has been the compass that allowed us to get back on track, because it reminded us in the very same way that your written business goals remind you of what you want for your family, our written vision for our family has guided what we do. So I know it's effective, and I know it's a very rare thing, too. I work with dyslexic kids and adults, so I talk to a lot of families. We homeschooled our kids for 30 years, and I spoke at homeschool conferences across the nation. So I talked to a lot of families. And in all those years, 30 years of homeschooling and speaking to all those families and working with dyslexic kids, speaking to those families, I've met one family who had written goals for their family culture, what they wanted it to be, a family legacy that they wanted to leave. And that is a shame. Shame on us. If we have written goals to get out of debt, if we have written health goals, if we have written goals for our business, and we do not have written goals to create a family culture, a family legacy for what we want to leave behind, shame on us if we don't do that. And it works. As I said, I'm not I think it was end of March before I realized, where did I put my goals for 2021? I couldn't remember. I'm just sort of bumbling in that way, but it works. And if I didn't say this in the beginning, if you didn't infer this when I told you my story about making my child cry, There's nothing special about Chris and I at all. We are so average. I mean, we're just average. We did implement the principles that we set about to implement, but I want to tell you this works. We a couple of years ago started an additional business, and shortly into it, Chris asked for my help because I'm an administrator, and that was what the business needed. So I stepped in, and for almost 2 years now, this business we have allowed. Let me rephrase it that way. We have allowed this business to consume our lives, to consume our souls. I'm telling you, we've allowed this to consume our souls. It's awful. And maybe I've never done this, but we would share with our family at dinners and stuff all the things that were going on with this business. And one time my daughter-in-law said to me, "Wow, this doesn't seem in line with your family goals. Or it just doesn't seem at all in line with who you are as a family. Are you going to continue to do this?" And I thought, wow, you're gutsy to say that to your mother-in-law and father-in-law, and I appreciated her honesty because it was a gut check for us. We didn't realize we had become harsh and angry and critical and cynical and awful. We had allowed ourselves, I mean, full responsibility. It didn't make us this way. We allowed it to make us this way. And we allowed it to distract us from the single most important thing that we leave, husbands and wives, moms and dads, that we leave on this planet, which is our family. And our written goals, and they hang in our bathroom, like, you get what I'm saying? They hang right there, you know, in the bathroom. So you see them frequently. Depending on how old you are, you see them more frequently than you ever dreamed possible. But they were the thing. It's like, oh, yes, this is where we want to go. And so as a result of my daughter-in-law's honesty, we are taking steps like turnkey and three, new, we're getting out now, you know, we're like doing whatever we can to extract ourselves from this business because it is interfering with what we want as a family. So I know it works. I know it works because when our kids were little, as I mentioned, we have seven. So anytime we went anywhere, people are looking at you if you have seven kids because you're just weird. And it wasn't as weird back then. It's just really weird now because we ran the homeschool community, so like we were nothing. I mean, there were people with 10, 11, 12 kids. You know, we were just like nothing. We were babies. But now seven kids is pretty weird. But even then, and six boys, I looked like a gang. You know, I had my the squad with me. But anyway, so people always watched us. And often they would say to me, but strangers would stop me and say, your family is just really different. In the same way that I saw that family in my church was different. They would say to me, your kids, they just seem well-behaved, or and they would try to wrap their head around, just like I had, what is different? They'd say, it's like they enjoy one another's company. It's like y'all like each other. Wow. And almost without exception, they would say to me, you're so lucky. And I think to myself, No, I am not lucky. We worked really hard toward a goal that was really important to us that we had taken the time to write down. And if it's luck, then if it's the wheel of fortune of families and it's just luck, then gee, what do you have to look forward to if you didn't win, you know, and get a good family, you know? It's not luck. It was just that we were naive enough to believe, wow, this person has this result. They said they did this to get there. Let's duplicate what they did. And we saw the results. And then, as I said, we were emboldened to dream big things. And we studied over those years varying subjects that relate to families. So that will be a content that we'll cover again. This is a commercial later on. Things that dramatically impact our families are things that we're going to cover, like the husband and wife relationship. I love Sherry's stories about her and her hubby. Love languages, keeping your kids' love tanks full. And all these things affect our family culture, our family legacy that we want to leave. Gender differences. Not such a big issue with dads and their daughters, but a huge issue for moms and their sons, especially today when there's an all-out assault on males in our culture. Huge, huge thing. That is a passion of mine since I have so many boys. That's another thing that we'll cover. Character training. Patrick, I should remember names, who spoke yesterday, talked about soft skills and how important they are. Miss Patrick. And that's your job and my job as parents to be teaching our kids, proactively teaching our kids those soft skills. Frankly, I don't want my kids leaving my house and their boss, you know, having to teach them those skills. I want to teach them that. So this, we'll talk about obstacles to success, EQ, emotional quotient over intellectual quotient, those kinds of things that all work together to help you create that family vision for a legacy that you want to leave. Child training is an important part of it. If you can't get your kids to do what you ask, then you can't get your kids to do what you ask for, you know, working toward a goal for a family vision. So it all comes together. And I feel like for such a time as this, I used to call COVID a blip, and then it kept going on and on. And now I think, no, it's more like a pothole. And now I think, no, it's more like a sinkhole that we've all fallen into. But I think the silver lining is it's been a wake-up call because for good or bad, I guess, we've had an opportunity, some of us, to spend time with our families on a scale we've never done before. And that's been revealing in a positive way. Wow, we have a really solid family relationship going on. We're really trekking towards goals that we feel are important for our family. Or it has illustrated the opposite, which is we have some work to do. So if you find yourself one of those families who does have written goals for your family, for a legacy that you want to leave, for a family vision that you want to see your grown kids begin to implement in their families, and we're seeing that in our with our grown kids and their kids. I don't think I said that. Four of my sons are married and two have children. And we're seeing them begin to duplicate the same intentional, proactive goal setting and working towards a family legacy. We're seeing them do that. So if you're the family, and I haven't mentioned yet, you'd be family number two who has written goals, good for you. I'm so glad. I'm glad for your family. I'm glad for your kids. I'm glad for your grandkids. I'm glad for our society that you're on it. If you're not, and you're like us, and you were kind of bumbling through, but were dissatisfied and felt like, you know what, I want to enjoy my family. I don't want to just endure my family. I want to enjoy my family. I hope that you'll join me as we work out what this is going to look like, you know, in Howard's conferences as we figure out what that's going to look like. I hope you'll join me. I feel like we can accomplish great things. And so if you think, wow, I need to know more about this, then let's do this together. Let's get busy. Let's get to work and change one family and another family and another family, and maybe change culture. I don't know. You can find me at my website, beverlyparish.com. That we will be doing, my personal plan is small family conferences, and that's in the works. I feel real intimidated when I hear 5-year, 10-year plans, and I think, we just started talking about this a couple of months ago. But my plan is small-scale family conferences in person, and then however I can serve Howard and you guys by bringing these messages about husband-wife relationships. Speaking kids' love languages, gender differences, and how to deal with that, character training, child training, those kinds of things. That's kind of what I will be bringing to the table. And I hope you'll join with me. If your kids are already grown and you're having grandkids, I hope you will think about encouraging your grown kids to develop written family goals to create a family legacy. Let's just change this place, one family at a time. Thank you.
Amen.